without being charged rent donation. But it is we expect to give a nice platform so that we can continue to use the facility. Would all those who care to please stand for a moment and join in the serenity prayer?
God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Amen.
May I have a volunteer come up to read? I need three for readings.
Hi, I'm Wendy. I'm a compulsive overeater and a sugar addict.
Hi, Wendy.
OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. Okay. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive overeating and to carry this message of recovery to those who still suffer.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Cassie, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Cassie.
These are the 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Twelve steps, 12 traditions. Our common welfare should come first personal. Recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into publicity, controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, the anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you. I don't know if I introduced myself. I'm Margaret from Avenel, compulsive eater.
Hi, Margaret.
The
Our flyer for this workshop said, I came to believe. This suggests that the second step is a process and a progression of faith that evolves over a period of time. And it's an analogy that came out of AA, three parts. First, we came, showed up into a meeting, stumbled sometimes. Second, we came to, sobered up, came to our senses and began to experience emotional sobriety. And thirdly, we came to believe. And we begin our real recovery process when we come to believe. Step two is a step of hope. The spiritual principle underlying the second step is that of hope. And it is a large step toward a higher power. In spite of all the failures in my life and broken promises, disappointments and hurt feelings, destructive behavior, guilt, there's always hope. Every day I get up and I expect to be abstinent if I ask God for help. When I went to my first meeting, I came home with a bucket of hope, I always say. A woman who was in relapse, who had had 16 years of recovery, told her story. And I wanted what she had anyway. I made a decision to believe at that meeting. I made a decision to believe that what was in the big book worked for other people and that I was going to do the same thing. And I was not going to try to change it, alter it, make it fit. That I was just going to leave it intact, which I've never done with anything in my life. You know, I'd see a list of rules, sounds good, but surely not for me. That recipe looks good, let me twist, you know, tweak it a little bit. I always change things, but I made a decision to believe that if it worked for other people, it might work for me, but I had to leave it alone. And I actively worked on acting as if this power was going to be extended and help me. And I often think in the rooms when I hear people struggle and relapse, what are they waiting for? Already struggled, come, made time, gotten our butts to a meeting, which is an act of surrender, first step back, surrender. Surely you wouldn't be here if you didn't think it worked. Isn't that enough belief for right now? And as far as the food goes, which is our number one enemy, make a food plan, commit it, act as though God's going to help you stay abstinent. There are no burning bushes in this program. It's very subtle changes where I started to see God work. A few burning bushes appeared later on. So when AA first was founded in 1939, it was one person telling their story to another, just like that first meeting that I went to. One person telling their story to a small group of people. And the second alcoholic believed that what Bill W. said might work for him. And I believed what that woman Sylvia said might work for me. I was 49 years old, I was 485 pounds, and I had been totally immobile, non-ambulatory for 3 years. I think I walked badly now, I couldn't walk at all then. Life was not good. It was not good at all. But I had hope. I went home with hope and enthusiasm. I stopped eating in between meals. Didn't get a sponsor, didn't have that much trust in the program, but I had hope. Lost 45 pounds, did real good for about 5 months. It was self-propelled, it was dieting. And then I got a sponsor and started actually working the program. But I haven't had to alter the way the steps work. I haven't had to try to make them my own. I don't see anything in there that says, except you, Margaret. The process of coming to believe is something that I've experienced because God has helped me. I'm going to try not to go past the second step in my thinking tonight. The spiritual experiences and beliefs of other OA members I listen to every week because my home group is a speaker meeting in Edison. And almost every week, somebody who's in recovery with food tells their story. I also have enjoyed tremendously step meetings over the years. And it seemed like when I was first working, officially working the second step, every meeting I went to seemed to focus on either the chapter in the agnostics or the second step, or no matter where I went for months, it was the second step. So maybe God does have a plan. Some members have very strong religious orientation before they come in. Others of us have a history of religious conflict or don't accept the concept of a higher power. It doesn't matter. The only thing that we have in common is the fact that we have this disease of compulsive overeating and a problem with food. We don't have to have anything else in common. And I can tell you, I came into the rooms in 1970 originally for a few months, and then I came back in 97. And except for once, I don't think I've ever identified myself by what religion I am. But I tell you every week I'm a compulsive overeater. There is absolutely no reason for me to tell you how often I have sex with my husband, how much money is in my bank, or what church I do or do not attend. Because how is that going to help you? Doesn't matter, does it? But I talk about my relationship with a higher power. I talk about my relationship with money and my husband, too. But I talk about the relationship that I have developed that helps me stay abstinent and that helps me in my everyday life. I was at a meeting, and there was a man from a foreign country, a little short guy. Skin was a different color than me, sitting next to me. Working class guy, dirty work clothes on, probably came right from work. And it was a step 11 meeting, and he was talking about his meditation practice and how he feels that his higher power speaks to him. And I knew that he was describing the same higher power that I know. And as I sat there and listened to him, I felt a kinship, friendship, and damn if I didn't start to love the guy, and I didn't even know his name. And that's how God works in my life. It's a heart-opening process. And I recognize that my thoughts, my opinion is that there's a higher power that created every one of us. Therefore, we are part of him, you are part of me, and I am part of you. And if I truly value you, I'm valuing myself. That's on a good day. It don't work that way every day. But on the best days, it does. And to have those really good, clear moments of connection with other people, it's worth it. It's worth it. So I've sponsored quite a bit in the rooms. I've found that people who have what you would call a strong religious life are very difficult to sponsor. Because if I make any suggestions on, you know, chatting with God, sometimes they're quite defensive. And you know, if that religion got you abstinent, you wouldn't need OA. It's a whole different thing. It's not religion in OA. It's spiritual. OA even has a booklet out called What Do I Do If I Don't Believe in God? Because it's not a prerequisite to believe in a God. It is a prerequisite for recovery to believe that there is a force that's stronger than yours. That's why we have that slogan, just remember there is a God and you're not it. Yeah, because we all have ego problems. I was an active atheist most of my life. I lost whatever faith I had when I was about 13. Atheist, agnostic, whatever you call it, but I felt like somebody on a spiritual quest through the desert. I wanted what other people had, and I looked for it. I had religious friends. I went to many different churches. I tried different things. Nothing seemed to work. During my nursing career, I worked occasionally early hospice work when we were first setting it up in Union County, and dealt with a lot of terminally ill patients in my time, and I used to think there was some secret that I could discover from the folks who accepted their terminal disease diagnosis with calm and a sense of serenity, that they knew some secret. I looked into the eyes of the dying and the eyes of the newborn and never found the answer until I came to OA. I believe firmly in the program because it's changed my life so profoundly. I do not enjoy, my opinion, I do not enjoy OA Big Book meetings that only focus on the first 164 pages. I don't need directions. I need examples. That's why I go to speaker meetings. I need the stories in the Big Book. I need to know how people put the program into action. Every story in the Big Book is a second step story. Everyone in that book came to believe there was something greater than them and became sober. In our literature, we have wonderful books also. They're all stories, second step stories, how someone came to believe there was a higher power. Some of them acted as if. Became abstinent because they allowed that higher power into their lives. And I need that. I need that enthusiasm. I need that spark. I don't need to just read the directions. It's not enough for me. That's this girl's opinion. Now, we had the OA plague strike today. We lost a few more speakers, but we have four of them this evening. Got a little mix of men and women. And our first speaker tonight is Jim from our home group. Hey, Jim.